Good morning. There's a few confused faces, so let me clarify. I'm not Pastor Jim. We're often told that we're mistaken for each other. I think it's our similarity in height, perhaps, or our hairline. But there is a distinguishing feature between Pastor Jim and I. He is the Finlander, and I'm Norwegian and Icelandic, so you can always tell us apart by that. My name is Randy Toflin. I've been asked to fill in for Pastor Jim while he is on a retreat with our confirmation students. So it's nice to have you here this morning, and I look forward to worshiping with you. I'd encourage you to look through all of the announcements in today's bulletin, but there's just a couple I'd like to highlight. First, today is the day to turn in your World Hunger boxes, if you would, please. There's been asked to comment on how those proceeds of your generous donations are used. 71% goes for international relief and development, 8% for domestic relief and development, 5% for hunger education, 7.5% for advocacy, and 8.5% for administration and fundraising. So for those of you that generously donate to charities, you know that anything under 10% is usually a goal for charities. And the World Hunger states that there's a billion of our neighbors around the world, so one in eight people that live in poverty, so I know your gifts are certainly greatly appreciated. Also want to point out the Operation Christmas Tree that's in the narthex for our Aitken youth, for toys and hats and mittens and socks and so forth, that if you would generously contribute to that as well. And then finally, the event tomorrow in Coon Rapids with Feed My Starving Children. Wally said this morning there's about 25 people that are signed up, and for those of you that are participating, he would like suggest that everyone arrive about 2:20, so a little bit of time to get organized before for the event there. Any other announcements that anyone has this morning? Then we'll open with a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. We pray for Pastor Jim and our two confirmation students, and trust that their time this weekend was fulfilling and enriching for all of them. Lord, we just pray that you will open our hearts and our minds this morning and come into us while we worship you. We pray all this in our Lord and Savior Jesus' name. Amen. We will start with our bells performing How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darwin and Bells. Our opening hymn this morning is number 439, Soon and Very Soon. Would you please rise on the singing of the last verse, please? Please join me for the confession and forgiveness found on page 2 in your bulletin. In the name of God, the Father of glory, in the name of God, the Son, our Redeemer, in the name of God, the Holy and life-giving Spirit, Amen. The Son of righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy. Please take a moment for silent prayer. Gracious God, we acknowledge that we are sinners and we confess our sins, those known to us that burden our hearts and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed. Free us from the slavery of sin, liberate us from the bondage of guilt, and work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ the dawn from on high shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit guides our feet into the way of peace. Amen. From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from Colossians 1. An early Christian hymn praises the mystery of the political personnel and mystical Christ, the one who is present at creation and is eternally reigning with God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he may come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The psalm today is Psalm 46. Please read the bold print aloud, and when you see the bold R, repeat the refrain, "I will be exalted among the nations." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea,
though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
I will be exalted among the nations.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow, the shatters, and shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I will be exalted among the nations. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the gospel.
Today's Gospel for Christ the King Sunday is Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. Amid scoffing and slander from those who sarcastically call him Messiah and King, Jesus reveals that to be Messiah and King is to give one's life for others. Here he uses his power to welcome a despised sinner to paradise, but puts his own death into God's hands. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." You may be seated, and the hymn before the sermon is number 427, "For All the Saints." When Winnie called to ask if I would consider leading today's service, she explained that it was Pastor Jim that was going to be on a youth retreat and that he had suggested that she call and ask if I would consider leading today's service. And of course, I asked Winnie, what is Pastor Jim thinking? But Winnie explained that Jim understood that I've done some public speaking and I might consider this opportunity. But what Jim doesn't understand is that most of my public speaking was in front of employee groups or trade conferences, places where people kind of have to stay and listen. You can get up and leave anytime you would like. So, but I accepted Winnie's invitation, and I hope that I can bring some glory to God this morning. I also want to point out that Winnie shared with me that she has a very short list of people she feels she can call for this opportunity. So as you sit there this morning and you think, you know, I'd like to do that one day, I would encourage you to let Winnie know, and I'm sure she would be happy to add you to her list. Before we look at today's gospel, I'd like to tell you a quick story. I grew up in a very small town in North Dakota, a town of about 100 people called Martin. And for those of you that either grew up in a very small town or you're familiar with very small towns, you know that they're filled with colorful characters. Well, one such character in my town was a woman named Tilly Coast. Tilly was a grandmother of a friend of mine. She was a widow, a farmer. She lived on her farm just on the edge of our small town with one of her sons and his family. And although Tilly had a large two-story home on the farm, she also had this small single-room house that she called her summer kitchen. And every summer, Tilly moved into this summer kitchen, and from there she tended her garden, and she raised chickens that she sold the eggs. And in the fall, she sold the old hens to families like mine in the town for either canning. I remember my mom canning these old hens or soup or whatever it may be. A bit more eccentric, Tilly also raised pigeons in the hayloft of her barn. Lots of pigeons. She raised them to eat. And every day, Tilly wore this dress. She wore a dress every day. And she wore these heavy knit stockings, full-length stockings. Winter or summer, she had these full-length stockings. But when you grow up in a small town like Martin, North Dakota, none of that seems strange. It's just all normal way of life. Well, Tilly was a member of my church, a typical small-town church. There was 5 confirmation students in my confirmation class. And in our church, the confirmation students led the service on the day of our confirmation. And although I can't remember or tell you what my role was in that service, the reason I tell you this story is after the service, Tilly came up to me and she said, "You're going to be a preacher." Well, of course, she was wrong. But her comment always stayed with me, and now here, some 40 years later in Malmo, Minnesota, perhaps Tilly's prophecy has come true. Turning to today's gospel, I remember thinking when I saw the reading, why are we reading about the crucifixion of Jesus in today's gospel? We're about ready to start the Advent season. This is more Easter-like than it is the Christmas season. But when I began to focus on the imagery of Jesus and the thieves on the cross, I realized that each cross tells a unique and special story. So I'd like to look at these 3 crosses of Calvary. Starting with the cross on the left, it's occupied by a thief. We don't know what this man's crime was, but we know it's punishable by death. Yet, this thief blasphemes Christ. He says, "Save yourself and save us if you're truly the Christ." Of course, what this thief really wants is to be saved from his situation, his dying on that cross. But we see no repentance. In fact, we see him challenge Jesus, save us, save yourself. But we know that Jesus wasn't there to save that thief from his cross. Jesus was there to save us from our sins. So I believe this thief dies in his sins that day. The middle cross is occupied by Jesus, of course, the Son of God, there without sin. You'll remember the scene of the crucifixion. It was brutal. Jesus is whipped and beaten, his hands and feet nailed to the cross, a crown of thorns pressed to his head. And Jesus is placed there between two thieves. In my research, I came to learn that that middle position, the middle cross, was the location for the worst of the worst criminal. Jesus. The worst criminal? Obviously not. Jesus is there without sin. Jesus is there to die for our sins. Jesus dies on that cross that day for our sins. Then we have the cross on the right. Again, occupied by a thief, but this one admits he deserves what he's getting. And though Jesus never defends himself from the cross, this thief defends Jesus. He says, he's not one of us. So in this sinner, we see true faith. We see a repentance. We see a belief in Christ. We don't know if this man's ever heard the gospel, but we see in this man that that day he sees in Jesus the gospel, and he repents. And that day, Jesus saves that man from his sins. Grace, forgiveness, what a gift. Even in this thief's dying hour, through his repentance and belief in Christ, it wasn't too late to be saved. Through grace, it's never too late to be saved. I know in my life there have been times when I think, you know, it's just too late to accomplish something. But then I might have a new experience, or I might see something, or I might read something, and I think it's not too late. In an article from the Washington Post a few years ago, it told the story of Mario Capecchi. Mario survived as a street urchin in World War II Italy after his mother, an anti-fascist intellectual, is hauled off to the Dachau concentration camp. Before his mother is taken, she gives some money to a neighbor to care for Mario, who is 3 years old at that time. And the neighbor does care for Mario until the money runs out. And then she turns Mario out to the street at 4.5 years old. Mario goes from town to town, occasionally living in orphanages, but mostly he begs and steals and survives on his wits. He nearly dies of malnutrition. But then in 1946, after his mother is liberated from Dachau, she finds him. And a year later, an uncle in America sends them some money to emigrate, and Mario begins a new life, a life filled with degrees from Antioch and Harvard and a fellowship under the discoverer of the structure of DNA, James Watson. Capecchi goes on to do groundbreaking work in gene targeting. And in 2007, he is awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine. A street urchin to a Nobel laureate. Not what one would expect, but a human example that it's never too late. So you never know. A street urchin may grow up to be a Nobel Prize winner. Martin, North Dakota confirmant, might grow up to fulfill Tillich's prophecy and preach one day and in Bethesda Lutheran Church in Melma, Minnesota. And then a baby born in a stable on a cold winter night might just turn out to be the Son of God that's crucified on a cross and forgives a thief while dying for your and my sins. Through God's grace and our Savior Jesus Christ, truly nothing's ever too late. Amen. Now I'd like to invite our ushers to receive today's offering while we sing hymn number 434, Jesus Shelter. Please rise and join me in the offertory prayer found in the middle of page 5 of your bulletin. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills are gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Please take a moment for your own time of prayer and reflection. For your faithful flock throughout the world, that in worship and service we may glorify your name and proclaim your reign, let us pray. For all things in heaven and earth, that works of your hand always listen to your voice and testify to your greatness, let us pray. For the leaders of the nations, that they deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness so all people may live in safety, let us pray. For patience and endurance in suffering and your tender compassion to all who call upon you in time of need, especially Darwin and Ron Hass and those in our hearts, let us pray. for gathering this assembly together again in your name and for our witness to your kingdom through loving care for one another. Let us pray. For welcoming sinners into your kingdom and in thanksgiving for all the saints who dwell with you in paradise, let us pray. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, who loves us, who gives us eternal consolation and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you forever. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving to you all this week, and our closing hymn is number 423. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse, Shall We Gather at the River?